Listeners, I've always wanted to talk with someone who has some very direct knowledge of the Great Smoky Mountains, the Smoky Mountain National Park, and it's really a great pleasure and an honor to introduce Dana Solon, who is a true representative of the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. Dana, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm delighted, and our listeners are delighted. We got questions for you. Are you ready?
We're ready.
First of all, why is the Smoky Mountains called the Smoky Mountain National Park?
The Smokies is situated in this incredible place in the Appalachian Mountains. And where it's sitting, we have elevations that range from 800 feet all the way up to over 6,000 feet in elevation, and they're fully vegetated. So it's this incredible space where you have over 130 different tree species, 2,000 species of plants, and they are constantly transpiring and giving off moisture in a place that's already a temperate rainforest. So you have this combination of, at our highest elevations, over 85 inches of rain, and then you have vegetation that's consistently and constantly, you know, transpiring and giving off moisture. And when that moisture is affected by sunlight, it gives off this bluish haze. And so this land has long been known as Shekinahay. That's what the Cherokee people called it. And it's the land of blue smoke. And so it's not named the Smoky Mountains because of air pollution. It truly is this natural phenomena that is provides some of the most scenic landscapes that you can ever experience.
Hard to describe unless you're there, listeners. Truly is an amazing, amazing opportunity and experience to enjoy this. Matter of fact, it's the most popular park east of the Mississippi. Am I correct on that, Dana?
That's right. And when the park was established in 1934, it was intentionally designed to give the people east of the Mississippi an opportunity to have a grand national park experience without traveling all the way out to a Yellowstone or a Yosemite or a Grand Canyon, because for many people, that can be a bucket list kind of experience to travel that far. And so they wanted to provide somewhere for people in the populous areas of the eastern United States a chance to have that experience. And we're located within a day's drive of between a third and a half of the U.S. population. And what makes that, even more accessible is just, you know, now that we have so many great highway systems and ways for people to really get down and experience the Smokies. So I always say between a third and a half, because it depends on what people consider a reasonable day's drive. And that's usually somewhere between, 6 and 12 hours, just depending on how people like to travel.
I think that's a pretty safe number that I would go with. I think you're right, Dana. And I do need to know some of the kind of the history since 1934. Can you give me kind of a thumbnail sketch of the history of the park and how it's developed?
So the park, again, was established at a time period when motor touring and people getting out to experience scenic drives and automobile clubs like AAA were really just getting started. And so the people that lived in this region in the Appalachian Mountains, many of them had been out. Some of the movers and shakers in places like Knoxville and Asheville had been out to the Yellowstones and said, gosh, why can't we have this kind of experience for people to enjoy? Our mountains are just as beautiful. And so it was a grassroots effort from the people that lived in this area to raise monies to create this space. And because of those efforts, it took them about 10 years to raise all of the monies to purchase the lands, because this is also a unique situation in these lands that where the park sits. people were living, which is that's a very unique situation from how the parks were created in the Western U.S., where most of them were not occupied and settled. So we had about 6,000 people living in this 500,000-acre area when the park was established. And so people sold their lands for the most part. Some of them received lifetime leases, but there were about 1,200 different homesteads, and then some really large areas that were owned by logging companies that had to be purchased. And not only did, you know, the people, come together and raise money, but that included even school children who collected pennies to go towards this effort. Once those monies were raised, they donated the lands to the federal government and the park was established.
And since 1934, the park became what it is today. Now, let's take it today, Dana, and let's ask a little bit about what people can expect when they visit the Smoky Mountains, and what are some of the things that you enjoy?
Well, one of the other unique things about this park is that it was designed in a time when the country was in a depression. And so they wanted to also provide economic prosperity to the communities around the park. And so what you won't find when you come to the Smokies are grand lodges and restaurants inside the park. Those are all located outside the park, again, to bring some economic prosperity to those communities. So a visit to the Smoky Mountains is a regional visit when you come. And it's as much about being in the communities, in our gateway communities around the park, as it is in experience the park itself. So there's a diversity of experiences. And I like to say that the Smokies offers something for everyone in a traveling group, because we have over 800 miles of backcountry trails that provides access to this 500,000 acres of wilderness areas. And so there's opportunities that are very accessible for people. You don't have to be a mountaineering expert to be able to hike the trails in the Smokies. They're well signed. There are lots of maps, lots of help to allow people access to these areas where they can backpack. We have 100 backcountry campsites, and then we have 10 front country camping areas where people can come by auto. And it's one of the best places for auto touring, because we have 384 miles of roadways that were specifically designed with scenic overlooks so that people could have an incredible auto touring experience. So there's lots of places for everyone to enjoy a Smokies experience.
You know, I'm thinking of autos. I'm also thinking of the great groups that come through the area all the time to enjoy the beauty of this destination. Could you give us some ideas and some tips maybe of some group travel and tourism?
So we have many of our roadways that are suitable for bus travel, and there is a lot of auto tours that will come through here. They will often have a step-on guide who will help people understand what they're experiencing. One of our roadways goes from Gatlinburg, Tennessee, across the highest peak of the park, over into Northern Carolina as the southern point at Cherokee, North Carolina. And just on that drive alone, then you end up passing through the same forest types that you would experience on a drive from Georgia to Maine in just a 60-minute drive across those highest peaks. And it's a year-round experience for people because, again, with 130 different species of trees, there's this tapestry of colors across the seasons. So that's one of the most popular places for both buses and cars. And then one of the other scenic drives that makes this place really special is we do celebrate that throwback to the people that lived here and gave up their lands for the creation of the park. So we have 100 historic structures that are preserved in historic landscapes that people can experience by auto tour. And one of those places is Kate's Cove, where we have log cabins that are preserved, churches, schools, to help people understand how people lived in the southern Appalachians at the time of the park's establishment. And they can kind of slow down, step back in time, and travel this 11-mile loop road. And again, we have buses that do that. We have people travel it by car, and over 2 million visitors each year go to that specific area alone. And in the summer months, every Wednesday, we restrict it to only cycling and pedestrians so people can enjoy it in that way as well.
I love to hear that. That really makes it special for people who love to do the biking not risque, but you're really out there with nature when you're having to do these things, and that makes it very special. Tell me about some of the critters that are around the park.
Well, again, as I described the vegetation and that incredible diversity, there's that also provides an incredible habitat for amazing species. And so the park is recognized as an international biosphere reserve and a World Heritage Site and supports over 20,000 different species of life. It's the most biodiverse national park in our system. And one of the things that are the animals that many people come here to see is the black bear. So we have,
yes,
one of the densest populations of black bears in the Smokies, and that becomes a highlight for many people's visit. We also reintroduced elk to the park 20 years ago. And so people can often experience wild herds of elk in the east, which is a pretty unique experience again. And it's really special to view them in August and September when they're bugling in the wild.
I think it's fun to do that. And of course, now I think people will drive through the Smokies kind of looking for the black bear, and they will consider it a great experience to have a chance to see a black bear if they can along their way. But that's some great possibilities, because you were right, it's a very dense population, not only black bears, but all kinds of life that's there, including butterflies, insects of all kinds. The walks through the park make it very special, kind of a special, unique feeling that you can commune in a very special way with this experience in the Great Smokies.
Yeah, and I also do like to point out that other unique thing about the Smokies is that it brings people back year after year and multiple times, sometimes within a year, so they can experience all the seasons. And people feel very connected to the Smokies, and they often make it a destination for milestone events, family reunions, or weddings. And the park last year alone hosted over 600 weddings. So there's this feeling of coming home when you're in the Smokies, regardless of where people are from. And it's a place where memories are made and new traditions are born.
We're talking with Dana Schoen, who's our wonderful correspondent for the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And Dana, I think you probably will agree the best way to get information is to go to that wonderful website of yours.
Yes, and you can find information at www.nps.gov/GRSM, and it's really the best place for trip planning advice. And you do need to prepare for a Smokies visit, because with over 12 million visits, people need to take the time to plan the time of day, the location, and the time of week that they come to have a less congested visit. Like many of our national parks, during the pandemic, more and more people are flocking to them to kind of experience freedom when we've all felt kind of locked in. And our roadways have been incredibly congested in some of our trails. So I encourage people to use that website. You can call our backcountry office. Also, you can call our visitor centers and be well prepared for your visit so that you can find some areas that aren't as crowded.
Dana, I want to close by asking you a question. How long have you been at the park, representing the park?
32 years.
32 years. I want to congratulate you. And, of course, you have a great staff there that try and answer questions and help people to get the best advantage of the national park. In your 32 years experience, Dana, what were some of the highlights to you that you've enjoyed working at the park?
Well, I continue to discover something new whenever I go out and spend time. This is a place that you can have a very intimate experience. It's almost like a cathedral of vegetation because we have old growth forest over a third of this park. So even while it was settled and you get those glimpses of the Cherokee story and the people that have called this place home for millions of years, you also have that experience of being in a true wilderness type setting, and to be able to have access to that in a way that is usable has always provided me this incredible opportunity to get out there and really just disconnect and reconnect in a way that you can do by just taking a few steps off the roadway. So I got to have a great time just this weekend on Mother's Day and was able to hike 12 miles and only see two other people. So the Smokies does provide these great opportunities for solitude in a really busy, crazy world. So that's what I like to encourage people to do while they're here.
Dana Schoen, again, it's great to talk with you, and thank you so much for being on the show.
I hope visitors have a chance to come to the Smokies. Thank you.